You're listening to Sci-Fidelity Podcast number 9. Assimilate this. Listeners should be warned. Experiencing this podcast can be like being assimilated by the Borg. There will be things inserted into your mind, obscene, vulgar, rude, explicit content.
Friends, about halfway through the following episode, the internet connection I have dropped. We tried to reestablish the connection, but were unsuccessful. We just wanted to let you know what happened. So, on with the show!
True, but the last couple of minutes we've been talking about starting the show.
Yes.
So.
Well, yes, right when I'm about ready to start the show, then you're like, are we going to start the show?
Wilford?
But I don't. Could we? Just with the Star
monkey,
Trek.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Monkey,
pussy.
Ass.
Lick it.
Yeah.
Flash.
That's a good way to start.
I don't
know
the words
on that,
that
one movie.
Die.
Gordon's alive.
Jesus.
Gordon's alive.
That was Gordon lives. That was it.
Yeah. No, I believe it's Gordon's alive.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I believe that. Yeah, right, you had it right the first time. That is that song. You know. Listen. Okay. I'm all for like people of different types. But I'm just going to throw this out there. That song's kind of gay.
Kind of.
A little bit. I'm not discriminating.
You
or
say
nothing.
That like it's a bad thing. It's Queen. It's great.
That's true. Queen. Yeah, I mean, I love Bicycle Race, but yeah.
Now, here's the question. Is the theme song for Highlander also a little gay?
Super gay.
Okay.
I still love the crap out of it, but it's super gay.
I am so gonna isolate that. Just know that going in.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. Listen, I know when we do these that I expect that certain things will just be. If I tried to protect myself from sound bites, I would never say anything. Yes.
That's what makes.
And that's why we love you.
Work a deep abiding sense of trust with all of us among all of us.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Now, the listeners that happen to get a hold of the show and cut their own sound bites and then send them back to us, we have no control over that.
We have listeners?
Did you just give suggestions?
They did.
No, why would I suggest that someone takes the show and specifically cuts out Michael and then... You can play sections of his audio out of context.
No.
Yeah,
I
no.
just remember what you're trying to stop me from saying.
Nobody would ever do that. And if they did, they certainly wouldn't email it to your boss.
No, wow.
My
they
boss
certainly
would find
wouldn't send it to scifishow@gmail.com or to feedback@sci-fidelitypodcast.com. Wow. They certainly
you guys
do
just
that.
Want yeah. me to make you just guys want to make me nervous for this yeah. whole episode is what you're trying to do.
You know, if,
what? No,
if,
we would never.
If you hung
and,
on,
and it's not like you know we could actually reward someone. It's not like
wow.
PayPal works. Put a bounty out there for the most hilarious,
yeah,
Michael, out of context soundbite.
You were a dick.
It's doable.
You're a massive dick. I'm just gonna. You're an ass.
Yes, but
that's
glorious.
Why we hang out with you. Did you just say he
I
was
think
a glorious?
We might have just created
his
sound
ass is glorious.
Yeah. You know, if you hung on this long, I feel it's only fair that we tell you that you're listening to the Sci-Fidelity podcast.
Yeah.
And that this is
did
Patrick.
You know that this Did you know that this podcast is intended for a mature audience? Because we say foul things, like you're a massive dick.
Yeah, well, whatever. This is Michael.
This is Brian.
This is Steve.
And apparently Steve is not here.
And the comatose Steve. What? 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 Okay.
I'm the man.
He was 1,000 miles away.
More than that. Hey,
Steve.
Getting gimped. Yeah, it's back to that.
Yeah. We're never going to get sick of the alien abduction or gimp jokes.
Wow.
Did the aliens have him dressed up as a gimp? Because that brings a whole new aspect.
Now I've
this.
Got grays and black latex in my. Wow. Okay. So yeah. Thanks.
It's like Scorpius. So, but you wouldn't know who that
glad
is.
Glad you went visual
I
with that.
I think yes. I do know who's vaguely. I could pick him up out of a lineup anyway.
Strangely, you get taken up to an alien ship and they're just playing that song. You just know nothing good is going to come of that.
Yeah. Actually. Yeah, if you're in any sort of Quentin Tarantino scenario, and if somebody plays that or Stuck in the Middle with You, just get the fuck out of there.
No.
Just get the fuck out of there. Because if they start playing Stuck in the Middle with You, odds are your ear's about to be cut off or they're going to pour gasoline on you.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we talk about sci-fi shit.
enough of that mainstream shit. Yeah, people might actually like the show. Back to the sci-fi, bitches.
Who the fuck wants to talk about regular shit? All they do is rob a bank in that. Do they rob a bank in space? No. Well, then shut the fuck up. Because that happened in Farscape. So if you want to talk about it, you can talk about it there.
And in Firefly.
Space Bank. Firefly. Space Bank.
No, you think it's Spank Bank.
Yeah.
Spank Bank. I guess that's better than Sperm
Sound
Bank.
Clip.
You, man.
God. All right.
Never
going to
get tired of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that now.
So,
Steve, Janeway masturbation joke all over again.
Since you're the one who has the computer easily accessible, you want to go over the last big question for the listeners there?
Sure. Let me just reopen that since I closed it.
Well, someone wasn't prepared, were they?
Wait, you so the last it? Big you never close it, you always leave it open.
Gaping. So our big question was which Star Trek movie is most similar thematically to the show that spawned it?
Okay.
And
the one that got the most votes, was Star Trek Insurrection. And actually that's one that Brian had voted for.
So maybe Brian could tell us why, because I don't see that at all.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Well, aside from some slight issues of budget, and I do mean slight, because it didn't look that much better than a regular episode, it just felt a lot like the sort of stuff they might have done in the seventh season, the kind of plot lines and stuff. Whereas Generations, it had Kirk, and that's not something I'd expect to see in a Next Generation episode.
Really? Because you got Spock in an episode.
And Scotty.
Yeah.
Bones.
She just started with the bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, no, I just felt that Insurrection captured that seventh season kind of TNG feel to it, to me.
See, I wouldn't think so, because Insurrection was basically, you know, as the name suggests, the whole crew, the whole command staff says, ha, fuck the Federation Council. We're going to go down here and do whatever the fuck we want because we think it's right.
Yeah.
And all of them went down to the planet except for, like, Riker.
Prime Directive. Also, you got the fucking Data. That damn emotion chip pissed me off throughout the entire... whatever. but, yeah, the whole lock and load...
He didn't have the emotion chip in.
He didn't have that one, which just made it
Insurrection.
Even...
Yeah, he did.
No, explicitly stated that he doesn't have it installed.
They did actually explicitly state, which makes a lot of the lines make even less sense.
Agreed.
Yes.
Maybe he put it in later on, but at the beginning of the movie, they say Data does not have the chip installed, and then they never mention the chip for the rest of the film.
Why did they remove the chip?
It was just when Data goes nuts at the beginning and they take the entire, everything that was supposed to be Star Trek IX and compress it down to a 10-minute sing-along, that sequence... that sequence there, they ask, well, what happened to Data? Well, did the emotion chip malfunction? I said, no, he didn't take it with him. It's back in on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I remember that specifically when I rewatched the movies recently. And then they specifically, they went out of their way to point out the emotion chip was not a fact.
I took it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's quite, if you want to
imagine.
That's
why I hate that one. That's my least favorite.
That's
why?
Your least favorite?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
We'll get to that later.
Are we gonna get, of the next generation
I know.
Ones.
Yeah.
Of the next generation. You wonder why? Because I've got an emotion chip, which I can turn off. He showed us he can turn it off in first contact. So why would you take it out? That makes no sense.
It was kind of cool in first contact. It was like, Data, could you turn off your emotion chip? okay, sir.
Yeah.
And he just shook his head and it just turned off.
Yeah. Captain, I'm feeling some trepidation, and I feel this need to shit my pants, and I think I've wet myself. Data, you want to stop being a bitch? Oh.
Oh, yeah. Right, I'm good. I forgot. I cannot be a little bitch. I could just turn that part off. Yeah, no. I got to go with, and Mew and I kind of agreed with that one. I guess it was Black Man Unity. Generations, I thought that one was the most like it, mainly because it was pretty much the show just shown on the big screen. I mean, they filmed it like right after they were done with the series, so they were using the same sets. It was used as an explanation for why the movie stuff was going to be different than the stuff. When I rewatched the movie recently, because I just went through a whole thing where I rewatched all four of the Next Generation movies, I felt like I was just watching an episode of Next Generation when I was watching Generations.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I would agree. I mean, certainly Generations was a very close second for me. So I'm not going to sit here and argue that you don't have a really good point with that one. And it is a very fine line, even for me.
But I'll argue that your point is wrong because we disagreed with it.
Okay.
So Insurrection, I will actually say, for the longest time, Insurrection was my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Back when I was a fanboy. Like, I'm not as much of a fanboy as I used to be.
Yeah.
But back when I was a fanboy, Insurrection was the one that caused me the least amount of pain. The other ones I hated. I hated Generations when I first saw it. It's kind of, actually now, having rewatched it, it's actually my favorite one. But
I have
that's
to,
weird.
Why didn't you like Generations?
I hated what they did with Kirk. I mean, I'm not even a huge Kirk fan, and I just thought that was just...
Okay. All right.
I hated everything they did with Kirk.
Okay.
He came off as senile and just old.
No. All right.
I think that was sort of the point, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was meant to come off as just ineffectual.
That's why they're doing the handoff, because they say, hey, he's old and useless.
Yeah.
Picard...
Well, I don't know.
Old hotness.
New hotness?
New hotness, but still old.
Yeah. As senile as they made him be, every scene where you compare the two, Kirk delivers the goods. I mean, Kirk saves the Enterprise B. Kirk does beat up Soren, which Picard explicitly fails to be able to match him in a fist fight.
I have to exhale on that one. Whatever. I don't know. When I was watching the movie and when I was rewatching it, it was actually worse. I kind of got the vibe that it was an old man being propped up. It's like, I can kick his ass.
Because it was an old man being propped up.
When you see Shatner hit him, it was like, you know, Michael McDowell was like, do I react now?
All right. Okay. No, you are the execution of the idea. Yeah, fair enough. The execution was pretty
weird. I think he hit me. I'm not sure.
Is this rehearsal? Or are we not supposed to do this? Or is the camera running? I'm not sure.
Can we get the final product? Fuck. I guess I should react.
You're saying you can't find a stunt double that's as big around as him? So.
Yeah, no, I had a big problem with the whole Kirk aspect of it. But, you know, now, maybe saying it's my favorite is pushing it. No, it might be my favorite. My least favorite is Nemesis. I'm sorry.
Really?
That movie is terrible.
I thought you changed your opinion of it.
I don't hate it as much as I used to. I was just talking about this last night. I don't hate it as much as I used to. It's still the worst one, in my opinion. I give you credit. You were like, oh, but that capital ship battle at the end is amazing. You're not wrong.
Thank you.
Ship battle at the end is pretty goddamn amazing.
Thank you.
I will acknowledge that. I was watching this going, okay. See, the first time I saw this movie, that ship battle was just drenched in the hatred that I had for the movie. So I couldn't enjoy the ship battle.
That was the one thing I walked away from that movie, was like, well, they did a good job with the ships fighting. And I was like, okay, that's actually what some ships in Star Trek should do. It's not like in the show where basically we have this giant 6-foot model and it, you know, a 10,000-pound camera that we can slowly move around it and say, oh, no, yeah, that's a fight. You know, these things move at, like, the speed of light, right? Yeah. You know, when they're in sublight combat, photon torpedoes, and, you know, they don't actually have, you know, to expel mass to move. So they're very maneuverable.
As flawed as Nemesis is, and I admit the flaws are huge, I still, every time I watch it or even think about it, it feels like there's a really good movie that was just trying to get out of that mess and didn't quite make it. Whereas
maybe
you
couldn't see the good movie for all the fucking lens flare.
There wasn't lens flare.
There wasn't
Nemesis.
Any lens flare.
I think you're thinking Star Trek 11.
Yes,
he's jumping straight to New Trek.
I am 11.
Yeah. We're talking about. 10.
And you're talking Nemesis.
Yeah, 10. Yes.
Yeah, with the clone of Picard that doesn't look anything like Picard and is bald, even though Picard obviously had hair when he was younger, because we had a flashback
episode. If the biggest reason you hate the movie is because they had an actor shave his head, that's getting a little weak. But
No. It's because they had an actor that didn't look like Jean-Luc Picard playing a clone of Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, no, but clearly Patrick Stewart should have played both roles. I agree that that would have made the movie a lot more interesting.
No, I'm not necessarily saying that.
If you're going to do with a clone with clone of Picard, it should look like Picard and act like Picard and sound
that
like
it's
Picard.
40 years younger than Picard.
But the age thing was just so they could get away with hiring a different actor.
I was going to say, you can do a younger version of an actor that's not the same actor. I mean, the reason Brandon Roth got the role in Superman Returns is that guy looks exactly like Christopher Reeves.
Right.
Exactly. That's why he got that role. They could have found an actor that, you know, resembled Patrick Stewart and then just told him not to talk. You know, like the guys that Bryan Singer sold, you know, Brandon Roth. Don't ever fucking talk, ever. Or I will fucking shoot your parents.
Here's my problem with Nemesis and the clone and whatever. As I'm watching the movie, because I think I took my wife. We're sitting there. We're watching it. The guy walks down. He's doing the whole thing. He's like, you know, talking. He's like, hey, I remember some things, and you know, I have this strange neurological disease. It runs in family. Blah 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 blah. And I'm sitting there. And, like, my wife leans over, she's like, so, are you supposed to know who that guy is? And, like, I think they're going to say that that's him when he was younger, but I've seen him when he was younger. Yeah. They've had several episodes. That guy doesn't look anything like that other guy. Like, not even.
They could have just gotten the other guy.
He doesn't even have to look like the other guy, but the other guy had hair. It's not like the man was born bald, right? He got old. He's 55 years old. His hair fell out. So for you to go, oh, well, obviously this must be Picard's clone because he's bald. Well, that's just dumb. And as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking here, and they're going through the whole thing, I'm like, oh, that is where they're going. But like for a fan, for somebody who's watched the show, that it's inconsistent with the rest of the series that they've laid out. So
I think the word you're looking for is it was fucking silly.
Well,
so Harrison Ford once said in Empire Strikes Back, when they were messing with his hair and worried about the continuity of the hair between this scene and last time thing that they'd filmed, he said, "Kid, if the audience is worrying about my hair by this point in the film, we're all in trouble." And I think it says something about the state of Nemesis that you're that hung up on the hair. If the movie was good, you wouldn't care whether Shinzon shaved his head.
We're all nerds. We obsess over shit.
Yeah, no, but it shaved a head. That's not like a cosmetic thing.
So I want to know why the movie producers have such a hard time following what's been established in the show. It seems like no matter what television series it is, when it comes time to make the movie, they just have to change so damn much. And in this case, they even had the right actors, right? It wasn't like they had to change actors and we had to adapt. They had the actors to do it.
Well, I think movie producers kind of have this viewpoint. Actually, I don't think I know. movie producers have this outlook that what works on a TV show doesn't work in a movie, and to a degree they're right. However, it is possible to do things in a movie that would respect stuff that was done in the show. They just don't give a shit. They don't care. That's the problem that we all have.
I think
they
you're right.
They clearly don't care.
Well, Nemesis was written by something Logan. I can't remember his first name. Anyway, he's a raving Trekkie. And Brent Spiner helped out with the script as well. And certainly you can't say Brent Spiner doesn't know something about Star Trek.
Knows how to
so,
fuck up
however, data. The director, Stuart Baird, from what I understand, had no
Ira
interest.
Stephen Bear?
Huh?
Ira Stephen Bear?
No. Okay. Stuart?
I think it's Stuart Baird. I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah. All right.
He had no interest in Star Trek and had never watched the show. And actually, in the commentary track, refers to Geordi as an alien because he's apparently under that misunderstanding.
No. He's just a racist.
Well, he's clearly an alien. His skin is brown.
Just like
look,
that
look
Klingon
at the coarseness
guy.
Of his hair. He's obviously from a lava planet.
Yeah, no. No way did that guy come from Earth. Everybody listening to the podcast is, you know, now wondering what the fuck they did by even bringing him in. Oh my God, that guy is a giant, giant racist. I guess we should have realized something when he showed up in a Klan outfit. But no, yeah, I agree with you. As near as I can tell, the people who make the movies, when you watch the Next Generation movies in particular, they don't seem to care as much. Now, when you watch the original series movies, I think there was more of an effort to kind of make them not necessarily closer to the series. I don't know. It could be that I think that the original series movies were just better.
Yeah. I think it's paradoxical in that all of the original series movies were written with the Kirk in them were written by people who had no involvement with the original TV show. I mean, Roddenberry supervised the first one. That's about it. Mm. Whereas the Next Generation, Generations, was written by writers from the TV show. Was First Contact. So was Insurrection.
I think the first two were written by Ron Moore, and I know Ron Moore can write. I love Ron Moore.
And I think it was Iris Stephen Bear who did Insurrection?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
By the way, he does Alphas now.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, and Nemesis is the only one that wasn't written by somebody who wrote on the show, but he was still a pretty big Star Trek fan by far. I've read enough interviews to know he was pretty rabid.
Just that thing when you're watching the movie and you say, okay, I know where they're trying to take me with this narrative, but I don't see it. And you say, oh, if you're complaining about his haircut, no, that'd be the same thing as saying, oh yeah, by the way, Geordi was a cripple when he was a kid. And his legs were shattered and they had a tail. But then,
I'm not sure if a bad haircut is quite equivalent to this.
So we could go back into the timeline so we could tell this story. It's like, no, that's not, the man didn't have any eyes. But other than that, he's good to go.
He wasn't crippled. Just because he had no eyes doesn't mean he's crippled.
Just
I think not having eyes is kind of a definition of being a cripple.
Yeah.
I would have to disagree with you on that one, Brian. I'm not saying
no.
You
that's
can't
what I was
handy.
Saying. Oh, okay. I was pointing out that he was claiming crippled would be a bad continuity move.
Well, I think if they said Geordi had a tail, which he did not have.
all I'm saying is if they say it's not just he wasn't bald or he was bald. It was. The way that Picard looks now is not probably what he looked like as a younger person. So to try to get somebody who is bold and looks like he does 40 years from now, is that I'm not buying the whole that's a clone thing. But
I see what you're trying to say, Brian, but I got to disagree with you. I got to go with what Patrick is saying. They picked an actor. They said the character was supposed to be a younger version of Patrick Stewart. that's fine. You did that, yeah, so you could have somebody that looked different, and then you go through all this effort to make him look like Patrick Stewart. That's counterproductive.
All right. Well, I just think that there are a lot of huge problems with Nemesis, but a bad haircut is not one of them.
What about Data and his transporter thing right at the climax of the movie?
Oh God, I hated that.
I mean,
yeah, that was that
so
was
he doesn't have a complete transporter, right? But he's got what I guess it's a beacon.
No, what it's a one-off site-to-site transporter.
Yeah,
thing.
It's a transporter that can beam itself.
Beam itself and whatever it's attached to.
Yeah, it can take itself apart and then it can put itself back together, even though it's taking itself apart.
Well, okay, right. When you put it like that, that sounds amazingly stupid. Yeah,
pretty much. I never actually thought of it in any real detail, yeah, but now that he says it, that is even more bullshit than the bullshit I thought it was.
I gotta say, I always thought site-to-site was kind of cool, but when you put it like that, yeah, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard of in my life.
And it's this it's the size that's exactly smaller than a pack of cigarettes. You know, yeah, they went from transporters being barely able to fit into a shuttle to, you know, being the size of smaller than a pack of cigarettes. Really?
It was a shitty
And then, like,
device.
The transporters on the Enterprise were not working or power was offline. But he still got off.
No, he ran through a hole and then ran through space and then grabbed onto the hull of the other ship.
I mean, if you want to get into technicals, we've seen them power the transporters using a phaser pistol before. It has short range, but certainly enough to get to that ship that's
in front of them. I have a very simple way. The shuttle bays refill
the shuttles.
And all those fucking shuttles have their own independent power supply and working transporters. To say, we can't beam them back, some fucking bullshit. That is just... Brent Spiner said, I don't want to be Data anymore. Get me the fuck off of this show because I'm too fat in this uniform. Well, and that was it.
The funny thing is that he's like, Brent Spiner said, I don't want to be Data anymore. He wouldn't have been Data anymore anyway.
Yeah.
That was the last movie. I think it was always going to be the last
movie. No, they were actually planning to do this as a something of a trilogy, a part one of a new trilogy of stories.
It was supposed
to be.
Wow.
But no, they lost. It was the first Star Trek movie to lose money, and that was that. So
you know why they lost money? Because it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I will say this, and I will give this to all of the Next Generation Trek movies. Mm. They all had a deeper point to their story.
Yes.
Like, all of them were about something.
Yes.
Right?
And was it, we're going to take something from the show and make it crappy? Was that the point?
No.
They attempted to address the human condition.
They attempted to address the human condition. You know, like, okay, Generations, this is the transfer one, and that was...
Well, no. They even talk about
Star Trek movie?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, First Contact was, you know, hero worship, and you find out that Zefram Cochrane, who everybody had played up to be, you know, the greatest man alive, was just some guy trying to make some fucking money.
And
Picard deals with his revenge issue. Insurrection is about, the greater good versus, taking the possessions of, like, the a small group of individuals for the quote-unquote greater good. And then Nemesis was about, you know, self.
And
like,
nature versus nurture.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? Unlike fucking Star Trek XI, which was about nothing.
Wait, hold on.
Nothing at all.
Before we get into Star Trek XI, I do want to make one quick complaint because you just mentioned it earlier. It was about... That First Contact, which I'm really not a fan of, but I know everybody loves First Contact.
I don't.
But the whole hero worship of Zefram Cochrane, I'm sorry. I had a huge problem with that, and I couldn't see the point that they were trying to make because while I was watching the movie, I had a problem with the entire crew of the Enterprise breaking temporal, the fucking prime directive. I can see one or two maybe, but not the entire fucking
they
crew.
You're not breaking the temporal prime directive after Riker tells him that they're from the future and that they're part of the Federation.
Well, yeah, but they
Starship
keep
Enterprise.
Dumping information.
No, my thing was they just kept. Yeah.
They,
yeah, yeah.
They didn't just
one
say we're
thing,
from the
fine,
future.
But
they
just
said, here's
kept
your statue,
dumping
here's your university.
I was like, every time it happened, it felt like somebody was clawing at me. It was like,
now,
oh my God, that is horrible. They would not do that.
the Prime Directive is clearly just a suggestion. You know, Data says, oh, this is a pre-warp society.
Yeah. Well,
and then they have
earlier,
no problem yeah. contaminating them.
Yeah, an insurrection.
You know, in violation yeah. of the Prime Directive.
The earlier version of the script for Star Trek First Contact would have had Picard interacting with Cochran almost exclusively. And so it would have been Picard choosing to reveal Uh-oh. All of this stuff. One person breaking the Prime Directive. And then the rest of the crew would have been up on the Enterprise fighting Borg.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the way I see it, it bothered me when I was watching the movie. And oh, my God. Suddenly, like, everybody's just saying, fuck it. We're just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching this movie going, no. That I just don't believe they would do that.
No, it's bad. I agree. The way that you finally, the thing was, is they decided they wanted Picard to be fighting Borg instead right. of philosophizing with Cochran.
It completely dragged me out of the film. And when I rewatched it, because I knew it was coming, it didn't bother me as much. But I'm still watching it every time I see a scene. I'm like when Geordi's like, oh, right there, there's where the statue is. Yeah. He would not do that.
Yeah.
He might think it, but he wouldn't fucking do it.
Yeah. So,
like, that's one of those things that would be great in a book.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's
Geordi
a pretty big flaw.
Think it and they could describe it, but he wouldn't actually say it to the man.
You know what? That doesn't, you know, that part doesn't bother me. Because, one, first of all, it's not like they're saying, oh, hey, you know, will you sign my yearbook so I can take it back and make a fuckload of money? No.
They didn't buy a sports almanac?
No, they didn't buy the sports almanac. They're just they're just like interacting with the guy, and it slips out because it's actually hero worship. I mean, imagine if you were, I mean, you know, pick somebody
from
history.
Yeah, but they're all letting stuff slip out, and
no,
they're all
not
suffering
all.
From hero worship.
How many was it? It was it was Reginald Barkley,
who's
clumsy as shit, and yeah. you can't trust him to do anything. Yeah. Or, and then it was Geordi. And then who else?
I thought Riker did some, too, but I could be wrong. It's been been a while since I've seen
Riker
that movie.
Did a little bit, and I think Deanna Troi did a little bit, too.
It's been 9 years.
I think when he was talking to Zefram Cochran in the bar, and he was telling him about some of the stuff, and then you could see Zefram Cochran getting freaked out. And that was kind of the thing. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Zefram Cochran's getting freaked out. So even if it was hero worship, wouldn't you would think once they figured out he's freaking out that they would just stop?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, have a little powwow and go, okay, we're kind of freaking the guy out, understandably.
Yeah.
Maybe we should stop. Talking about all the heroic things that he's going to do. Because if people from the future showed up and started telling me, oh, my God, because of you, all this future shit's going to happen, that would freak me out. I would probably get a little freaked out.
I'm not so sure that. Well, okay. They told him that because they needed to get him to fly his ship. He was like, hey, fuck it. The people came. Someone blew it up. Whatever I am looking out for number one, and it's not worth it. And so they had to tell him, look, all this future comes as a result of what you've done. Right. Wow, you have shit. To get in that ship. You have to fly it. You have to be the one that makes the first contact with the Vulcans.
But my recollection was that it seemed like it was causing more trouble after a certain point. Maybe at the beginning they start telling him and it gets him back on board, but they keep talking about it and he runs away. It becomes too much for him. Actually ends up getting in the way of their goal, helping their goal.
He runs away after Geordi lets it slip that there's a statue of him and he went to Zefram Cochran High School. Yeah. And that's when he runs off. And then, you know, they shoot him with a phaser and they strap his ass back into that Phoenix, in the Phoenix 1 or whatever it was, the Phoenix, and say, look, bitch, you're going to fly this fucking ship, and I don't want to hear any more shit out of you. Because seriously, I'm fucking Riker, and even though you are like a giant human being, I'm amazingly tall.
So does magic,
I will put my foot up your fucking ass.
So does fucking Riker. I'm the Kirk stand-in for this show, so you're going to fucking do what I tell you to do.
He got a real chip on his shoulder because he wants to be up there fighting Borg. Being Kirk, and instead he's stuck down here philosophizing.
Well, but he doesn't know. See, they've lost contact, so they're just like, oh, well, we're just damaged because, you know, we went through time and everything. But, you know, so it's not like everybody was doing it. Yeah. It was Barkley, who's a dumbass. He can't, He was in the holodeck, fucking Deanna Troi and Beverly Crusher when it didn't even lock the fucking door.
Barkley,
all right?
If that's it had just bullshit. Been Barkley, I would have forgiven it. I would expect Barkley would go.
If he was just Jordy, Barkley, I would have been like, okay, yeah, he's a dumbass.
And see, that's where you get your comic relief. And, as, and Barkley keeps fumbling in and letting things slip.
Actually, if Barkley if he was the only one that was doing it, that would have been an easy fix. And I would have been like, okay, yeah, I can see Barkley doing that. He's a dumbass.
Right. And they could even make up, oh, I used to have all sorts of holodeck fantasies about him, too. And, you know.
So that leaves. So you say Deanna and Riker. And as I recall, and I haven't seen it, that I haven't seen that part recently, so I could be wrong. But they are just trying to get him back on board. And they're not telling him a whole lot of stuff. They're not telling him, like, a whole lot of things. They're just saying, look, this is the future, and this is why it's really important that you actually help us. I mean, you design the thing. We have the original specs, but you know how blueprints are. Yada, yada, yada. So then that just leaves Geordi.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yada, 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 future utopia.
Yeah.
And,
Well, to be fair, that was how Roddenberry stated it in the about how Roddenberry stated it in the writer's guide back in the 1960s. We cannot explain how Earth solved its problems because we don't have those answers. I just want everybody to know that there is a solution and that we will solve them. I'm not trying to tell people how to live. I'm just telling them that there is a solution and they shouldn't give up on it.
Right.
And so the writer's guide explicitly said we're not going to go into what those solutions were.
Well, see, there you go. So that's Barkley, and that's Deanna Troi, and that's Riker. And then that just leaves you with Geordi, the chief engineer on the flagship of the Federation. His life is maintaining the warp engines of this Galaxy-class starship. Well, and I know it's the Sovereign class at that point, but whatever. And it's just all his entire life, Zefram Cochrane. So you're not going to tell me that the guy isn't going to slip because he's been down there for like 36 hours trying to rebuild the ship. You don't think the man's going to slip and say, this just reminds me of the statue that's at my high school.
When I was watching the movie, it just bugged me because I didn't buy that they would do that. I don't know. I think there was a lot of things bugging me by that point.
It was
no
individual point. It was just everybody doing it. Right. I think if we just got the statue scene, or we just got this,
if
they'd all been tied to Barkley, who we know is kind of unreliable, fantasy from reality.
But it's not everybody. I've just been making that point.
Well,
everybody.
Riker, it's Geordi, and it's Barkley.
Riker and Troi had to do it to maintain the timeline. That is part of the temporal directive. Not only is it don't fuck up the timeline, it's maintain the timelines that exist.
Well, okay, here's the other thing.
Maybe they just wiped his brain at the end. Did anyone think about that? They do that all the time.
I will say this.
Maybe that they just told him whatever it took, and then
they gave him that Torchwood pill.
He's not that silly little girl that Data met on that little planet that was about to die. He's I'm going to wipe your brain.
I love that one where they're arguing. Well, the Prime Directive says that we can't interfere with their culture because it might damage them, so we can't save their planet from destruction. Really? Really? You're saving them by letting them die. Okay. I'm sure the American Indians, if a volcano was coming up and they were all falling into the volcano and the evil white man showed up and said, well, we could save you, but we don't want to damage your culture. I'm sure the American Indians would say, thank you for respecting us. And then they'd fall into the lava.
I will say this. That's pretty close to what they did. No. What I was going to say was, for me, when I was watching,
First Contact?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I kind of blanked out there for a second. We started talking about Native Americans. I got a little lost. So, no, when we were talking about First Contact, and then my issue isn't just the fact that these people were acting out of character. Yes, I will agree with you. It's not every character. My thing was, when we get to the other characters, I felt like they were also acting a little out of character.
Agreed.
Worf was throwing out fucking taglines, and that bugged the crap out of me. I'm sorry. Worf is a badass, but I don't see him doing that. I just don't.
It's a movie. That's the whole point of the movie.
A movie doesn't... Okay, just because we're in a movie doesn't mean you have to start. That's when you get shit like Data saying, lock and load, you know.
Yes, you don't it's know. A movie. You say, you know what, it's their big screen shot. Let it go. It's not like he's dropping taglines the whole fucking movie.
Okay, but there weren't taglines and shit like that in the original series movies.
They didn't have taglines back then. It was 1981. That's some bullshit. No, what are you talking about? Bullshit.
Dirty Harry.
Oh.
Fucking tagline of all taglines. I think
they weren't action movies. The original series movies were not action movies.
That's my problem right there. The next generation movies are all fucking action movies.
Yeah, I'd agree. That's a problem.
I don't actually think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Star Trek when Star Trek became synonymous with Star Trek became synonymous with comedy with Star Trek IV. Suddenly, every Star Trek movie had to have lots of quippy jokes because Star Trek IV made a lot of money.
Yes.
And then Star Trek movies became, they have to be all-out action movies.
Listen, here's the thing. They did it perfectly with Star Trek VI. Star Trek VI had a great blend of humor, had a great blend of action, and it had a very well-done story. Star Trek VI, in my opinion, even though... it's in heavy competition with two. It's like the perfect Star Trek movie.
So, you actually have to talk into the mic.
No, I'm sorry.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Star Trek VI. I'm doing it again.
Yes.
Star Trek VI, as far as I'm concerned, is the perfect Star Trek movie because, yeah, I mean, it did have a lot of humor and it did have a lot of action, but it didn't detract from it being a good film.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you can't combine those elements. I'm just saying that when you make it mandatory to every script writer that it has to have all of these elements, it starts becoming harder and harder to produce a different script. Lots of people hated Nemesis because it was just like Star Trek II. And that's because they were, by that point, the list of things that had to be in a Star Trek movie was pretty formidable. What? The logical one dies at the end, saving everybody. The captain of the starship has to face their ultimate alter ego, evil version of them who might
somebody's
be able to challenge
reading
them.
A lot into their Star Trek.
No, actually, I the two things that he's mentioned, I would.
There's
agree
a battle
with.
In a big nebula at the end of the movie with the starship battle true. In the nebula.
That's true.
There's a super weapon that can destroy whole planets.
That's actually true. Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm not saying that if you look at it. That those elements don't exist, but to look at that, to be one of those people that says, "Oh, this is just like that," when it's actually nothing like that, is surprising.
No, I think I like Nemesis of all the TNG movies best because I feel there is a really good movie that could have. That was trying to get out of that mess.
So you don't
and
think
it failed.
That, you don't think that any of the other ones were good?
Well, no, if you gave me the script, if you told me which Star Trek movie would you like to go back in time to the script room and fix, I could fix Nemesis, I feel, and make it really good. I really would just want to start over with Star Trek 7, 8, and 9 and come up with a whole new premise. I love the premise for what Insurrection was supposed to be about before Patrick Stewart shut them down. It was supposed to be Patrick Stewart versus Data gets his own starship and goes rogue, and Patrick Stewart has to go after Data, and it's Data versus Picard in starships.
Wow, that would have been fucking amazing,
wouldn't it?
Wow.
That doesn't sound anything like Insurrection.
Well, no, that it was supposed. It was what's the movie? The one where they go up the river. The Heart of Darkness novel was adapted into the movie. How can I forget it? Big famous movie.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. They were going to do a Star Trek version of that, where as Picard has to go hunt down Data and kill him, and as he goes, he begins to learn that Data's insurrection might actually have some validity, and maybe there was a good maybe they're hunting the wrong person here. But in the process, and if there was ever a foe who might be able to kill Picard, wouldn't it be Data? I mean, outsmart him at Starship Tactics?
Wow, that movie actually sounds kind of awesome.
That sounds really awesome.
But whatever.
Picard came in and said, or Patrick Stewart came in and said, I want to do a
Picard. Well, Picard came in.
Patrick Stewart came in and said,
it was Professor X. That was the weird part. Professor X came in and was like, I will not do this movie.
Yeah, no.
This is some bullshit. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
He wanted a light, fun movie. and a light, fun movie. And so they took the entire script and compressed it down to Data and Worf in a shuttle versus Data in a shuttle. And they used Gilbert and Sullivan to defeat Data. That was that whole sequence was the original script for, you know, they just said, well, we'll take that idea and use it for the intro, for the hook.
Wow, when you said that, like, I cringed a little bit, like my soul died just a tiny bit.
I know. I love that original. That's the best idea for a start TNG movie I've ever heard. And they didn't make it because Patrick Stewart didn't like it.
So now I got to go burn a house.
Yeah.
I got to go set fire to something.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. That would have been awesome.
That would have been
great.
That would
have been great.
I mean.
Does your nerd rage not demand that something pay for that? It's going to look like London in this bitch in about 5 seconds.
Since we're in the middle of a drought, perhaps burning things down is not the best.
You're dodging the issue. Do you like the other alternate Star Trek 9 or not?
He goes hunting down. I think they could have done that well and had that be interesting. But also, you have the same problem. I see why it makes sense not to go that route, which is you end up with the Sulu condition on Star Trek 6, which is... Now you don't have the whole band back together. You start splintering them off.
Mm. Well, yeah, now, but it would be Data would be the villain of the piece. So.
Well, Data would be the villain, but would he really be the villain if it was justified? He's the antagonist, okay. But is he?
Yeah,
he's the antagonist.
He's the antagonist, and then does he get? I mean, is he actually the villain? Is he actually?
No, the film just basically wouldn't have, like, a villain.
Well, right, I don't exactly. know. I never heard a full detailed synopsis of what the true reason Data went bad would have been, but there would have been a justification for it.
Right.
So there would have been some other evil.
They would have gotten together at the end. They would have worked together. It's like
sung
superheroes.
Kumbaya.
It's like superheroes. When they meet and they have a crossover, first they have to fight each other.
But does it,
and
I mean
then they have to work together?
Okay, but does that even make any sense, though?
No,
because
it never
why
makes sense.
Why would Data have his own command, but Riker wouldn't?
Or maybe Data stole a starship. I can't remember the details. Somehow
but
Data has his own ship.
Does it all the time.
Yeah, I mean Data stole the Enterprise all the time. If Data wanted to steal a starship,
criminal organization. He stole it one time. Good God!
Hey,
he stole the thing one time. You call him a ship thief.
Hey,
he took it one time. Every other time, everybody else was devolving into a spider or some shit.
To be fair, he did say that Picard would have been hunting him, which, yeah, he's a criminal. Yeah, he would have been a criminal at that point.
Well, okay, but you can't... Okay.
That just would have been too out of character.
Well, no. Well, one, okay, it would have been too out of character, but also...
That would have been the central mystery of the movie. Why is he out of character?
But they've already basically stated you can't run a starship by yourself.
Well, I assume
so,
he had a crew or something.
So yeah,
I don't
so
know.
That
I have not read
so now Data would have work. To Data would have to convince a whole crew of people to help to say fuck you Federation. And well, I'm not saying that they
in the
couldn't
middle
have
of the
done
Dominion
it.
War?
I'm just saying yeah. I'm no. just saying as thinking of the franchise, thinking of the movie franchise, it's not a good idea.
It's
because
better
then
than
you can't have a 10th movie because guess what? Data's not well, you can have a 10th movie, Data's not going to be in it. Right, bringing Worf back on the ship was kind of like, I don't think that would happen. But we're like, hey, we're glad Worf's back. So who gives a shit? Yeah. But you can't have Data go steal a starship, convince people to commit treason against the Federation, and then just have him as the XO of the ship for the next movie. So basically,
actually,
in order to do that,
that happened to what Sulu and Chekov and McCoy. All of them stole a starship and then were serving on a starship in the next. Well, one other. They had to skip. They had to. It took them two movies to get back to their rank.
And then there's also the whole, you know, when they did finally make the reboot, so many things that they did. Like, hey, this guy who hasn't even graduated from Starfleet Academy yet, let's just make him second in command. And you know what?
But
let's make him captain.
But they weren't at odds against each other. They were all together. When they stole the ship, they all stole the ship for, you know, basically one reason. And it wasn't treason against the Federation. It was to save their friend. It wasn't like they were attacking the Federation. They just decided, you know what, I would rather save my friend's life
It would take some careful work breaking the story, as they put it, and coming up with a detailed outline that made sense. I think it still would. It had the potential to be a really good movie.
But I'm not saying it wouldn't have been a good movie. I'm saying looking at it
You think it would have just ruined Data as a character?
No, I don't necessarily think it would have ruined Data as a character. I mean, we've seen Data be at odds with. And I love when they give Data command, because Data. Hard-ass Data shows up instead of nice Data. Whenever he gets a command, he's like, I'm not treating you like a... I'm not going to consider your fucking feelings. I'm in command. Do what I say, bitch.
It's kind of what he does.
Like when Worf is like, finally. And he's like, Mr. Worf, can I see you in the ready room? And he comes in and says, look here, bitch. I don't know who the fuck you think you are. I'm the motherfucking captain up in this piece. You do what I tell you, dude. You shut the fuck up. Oh, Commander Riker didn't act like a bitch. Huh? Huh? Right, sir. I'm sorry. Fucking Data. I love it. It's awesome. But that I'm not saying that would break the character. I'm sorry. I just went on a rant. Data called people bitch for like 2 minutes.
I'm sorry.
It was awesome. When don't apologize.
When you were doing that, I was flashing on the I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I was flashing on that video the whole time. I was like, somebody needs to take that episode of Next Generation and just put over what you just said. Because really, that was amazing.
Such things have been known to happen before.
I'm Commander Data, bitch. if you've never seen it, you should look it up on YouTube.
That video was hilarious. I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah.
It's funny for about the first half. And then it stops being funny. But the first, it's like 10 minutes long. And then after about the first 5 minutes, it's like, okay, this isn't funny anymore. But the first 5 minutes is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, the first 5 minutes. Have you not seen it, Brian?
It was pretty goddamn funny.
I think maybe I could pull that out for you later. Anyway, I'm not saying that it would break the character of Data. I'm saying as a franchise, especially if they're thinking that Nemesis was going to be a three-parter, then basically you've written Data out of the show. Or you say, oh, it's just the malfunction in his chip, and then all the fanboys would be
I think there would have been a way to handle it that would have, at the end of the story, we would have felt okay with seeing Data in uniform again at the end, just like we felt okay seeing Picard in uniform at the end of Insurrection.
Isn't it?
Well, okay, here's the problem with at the end of Insurrection. Basically, what they were saying is, that admiral was doing some backdoor deals with the
full approval of the Federation Council.
Full approval of the Federation Council, but the Federation Council was also doing a little backdoor shit.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I just want to be immortal. Is that so wrong? No one will know. It'll be okay. And so what Picard did was they said, we're just going to, this is like the end of Serenity. They're going to go and put it on the wave and say, hey, what do you guys think about what the Federation Council is doing? And the Federation Council said, oh, yeah, we're going to have to disavow that fucker. Yeah, no. We would never do that. Those people deserve their little shit-eating planet, right? So in fact, they were actually, you know... And again, that which is what I said earlier, is about them being about something. That was about, you know, who is the Federation? Is it, you know, the 12 people on the Federation Council, or is it made up of the citizens of the Federation, right?
I do have to say I saw a review on the internet recently that did a Confused Matthew, actually, review, I think it was. No, it wasn't. It was the Opinionated Voyager review guy, Sci-Fi Blip.
Oh, God.
All right. Anyway, he did point out in Insurrection that if there'd been a scene where Picard turns to the Baku and says, well, this metaphasic bullshit technobabble thing that we want to do that will make your planet uninhabitable for all 600 of you, this will heal and prolong the life of 1 trillion people in the Federation. And everybody can live forever, and you guys can too. It's not like we're going to take that living forever away from you. And, you know, we'd certainly set you up with another planet. And, you know, all the people who are dying in the Dominion War, we could heal them and stuff. Would you be willing to, you know, can we work out a deal? And the Baku say, fuck no, only we get immortality. We don't care if the rest of you 1 trillion people die or Geordi's blind or any of that stuff. suddenly the Baku become a whole lot less likable. And of course, they never asked the Baku that question, because if they answered it, the Baku suddenly look like assholes. So they could never ask that question at any point in the film. Would you be willing to do this?
You know what? I don't necessarily agree with them. 1 trillion people? I think most of those people are dicks, and I don't really need them to live forever. I mean, forever? Forever?
That's when you're getting into just, you know, a bad opinion of human race.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa. You want the Maquis to live forever?
But aren't the...
And probably some of the Cardassians would live forever?
No, I'm just talking about the UFP there.
You think they wouldn't share that shit?
Well, whatever.
You think they could maintain that only in the Federation? Like crate
the 1 trillion
of immortality?
Number was based on the population of the UFP.
Well, I know.
So.
But you're saying a crate of immortality wouldn't find its way to Ferenginar or to Cardassia or to Romulus or Breen?
Breen. Well, they didn't spend any time arguing the point that we aren't ready for immortality. That issue was never addressed in the film. If they wanted to bring that up and say, well, this is why we should be not stopping this project, but they didn't.
I thought they did. I thought they were saying, hey, look, we've been around for a while. We're a little wiser than you are. Or did she just call them children? I don't know.
She called them children. She did make the point that that argument was kind of brought up. Nah. It was glossed over, but they did kind of bring it up.
They didn't just put it on the table.
Here's one thing that I'm going to say to kind of go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, but I know what you're saying is disputing that. Well, even though the whole cast kind of turned against the Federation, it was kind of... No, actually it is. If they had done that with Data, I mean, basically everybody was forgiven at the end of Insurrection. Why wouldn't Data have been? Yeah. I mean, it would have been the same basic thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean... Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they couldn't have made that movie, but all I'm saying is, given what they did with the movies they did make, you're saying, oh, that could be a really great movie. It could be a really shitty movie.
Oh, yeah.
Same time. And also, it could really fuck up the franchise. Yeah. So I could see why they would say, do we really want... Because who are our main characters in Next Generation? It's Picard and it's Data. I mean, say what you want. Yeah. Those are the two...
At least once we got to movies, that's what it is. So
even in the show, most of the shows were about Picard or about Data.
I wouldn't say Star Trek The Next Generation was about Picard and Data. They were just the most popular, and they got more... Definitely episodes focused on them.
Yes, given it's an ensemble cast, they have more episodes focused on them. So I'm not saying
I think Picard got more. I actually don't.
I know Picard got more, but Data got a lot.
Data got a lot.
But
remember when Data was like, the mask and the fucking holodeck.
Data got a lot of episodes, but I don't know. I mean, he certainly got more episodes than Troy. But did he get more episodes than Riker?
Yes,
I think so.
Yes. Riker got like 4 episodes.
No, he got more than that.
It's like, my dad was in Alaska and I don't want that ship. Yeah, and I was on the Pegasus and I fucking fucked the Federation. And that's pretty much all the character development for Riker. Oh, wait, I get a lot of pussy.
Well,
okay.
Until Wesley left the show, he certainly got a shit ton of shit.
Wesley got a shit ton.
Yeah. I would say if you broke it down into a pie graph, 100% of the episodes, I think you'd see that Picard and Data's pie's pieces are bigger, but they're not that much bigger. They're not bigger to say, it wasn't like Kirk, Spock, McCoy bigger, where, that's the whole show is Kirk and Spock.
Well, everyone
and McCoy.
Else was definitely supporting characters.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like, and I'm not picking on Voyager, I'm just pointing out that Voyager definitely did get to a point where it was the 7 of 9 Doctor and Janeway show, and like no one else really mattered.
Yeah, no,
I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying, it definitely got to a point where
that
show was about them.
I won't argue that point though, because I think they had,
were the best actors they had on the show too. So I wouldn't blame them. I would have done that if I was.
You got to go with where the character arcs are. So if the if the one guy has a nice little vanilla background, that's not an interesting story. So you're not going to say, when I was a kid, I used to play hopscotch a lot. I mean, you can't build a whole fucking episode around that. Yeah,
I played a clarinet.
I'm just going to say this. That's part of the reason why Deep Space Nine is my favorite one, because all of those characters. Like, I don't think you can say one character kind of outshined. I mean, maybe Sisko, but I think as a general rule, all of the characters were pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, I suspect if you...
Strong? Interesting?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I would actually call them interesting.
Keiko? I doubt...
Keiko?
I don't think Keiko.
Keiko was supporting.
Keiko was. The people who had their names in the opening credits.
Yeah. I would say I wouldn't be surprised if you did a breakdown. You'd find that Sisko actually didn't have any more episodes than the rest.
True.
But I think he had more power episodes where you're like, okay, Sisko's changing the fate of the galaxy here.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when O'Brien gets an episode, it's smaller.
I was gonna say, if anybody got like a lot of episodes of Deep Space Nine, it would have been O'Brien. He got a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I bet you O'Brien is probably the winner on quantity, not necessarily the earth-shattering, plot-changing stuff.
He actually has a couple episodes that are just bad. I got radiation poisoning, so I'm going back in time. But that's a whole other thing.
just because you don't understand physics. okay. And am I saying that Insurrection was a great film? No. Like I said, of the next gen Trek films, Insurrection is the bottom of my list, just because all of it seemed out of place. Like I could see the story they were trying to tell, but its execution was not very good. Generations is like, for me, is like Star Trek IV. The first part is good. Then, like, the first half, great. And then shit goes through something funky, and then the captain
ends up in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Captain ends up in heaven. Oh, we land the ship in a park, and we go looking for whales. Oh, hey, the bullshit part has started.
Yeah.
Let's just turn the movie off here.
It took them about 20 minutes, I think, to get back in time in Star Trek.
No. It's like a good 30. It's at least 30 minutes.
Okay, 30 minutes. I guess that's the half.
It's like at least 30, 40 minutes if it's like an hour and a half, which I think most of them are, right? So
the Star Trek movies are usually like at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
They're longer.
Star Trek, even
four?
Even
yeah,
Star
I'm sure
Trek
it's 4.
Yeah, actually, I think Star Trek 4 might actually be.
All right, fine. Not the first half, but the first part.
I get what you're saying.
As long as they're in.
While they were still in the future.
Now, so they're in the future, yes.
No, two different. One writer was in charge of writing all the stuff in the past, and one writer writing all the stuff in the future. I don't know if that
actually explains a lot.
That does explain a lot.
I will say this, as much as everybody loves, and you know, if we ever get around to having time to talk about the classic series movies, but I will say, as much as everybody loves Star Trek IV, I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah,
I thought it was okay.
Good. It's watchable.
It's 2 and 6 for me.
Look,
two and six were fucking amazing.
It's got some good lines in it.
Yeah.
If you will remember, computer.
Yeah.
Oh, computer.
No. It's a lot of fun. I'm not going to sit here and badmouth.
Mr. Scott, you might want to use the mouse. And he holds it up to his mouth.
Yeah, well, what worked there is that the jokes actually worked, and that helped a lot. They were actually funny.
Yeah, I'm looking for nuclear vessels. I'm a sci-fi guy, so I like the space part more than the... Oh, yeah, and by the way, the second half of 4 is a preachy fucking mess. So... You know, whatever.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a big message in that one.
Don't kill the whales. Hey, look, apparently they're not important enough to have, like, subspace communication. Because, it's been 300 fucking years since we killed off the last whale. And your friends are just coming now to look for you? I guess they didn't care.
concerning Generations, I guess my thoughts basically boil down to almost all of the individual scenes in Generations I liked. I just thought that they just seemed to be a bunch of set piece kind of interest. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a scene that did this? And wouldn't it be cool if we had a scene that did that? Strung together without a plot to support them. I mean, the whole sequence where, okay, I'll beam over to your ship. If you beam Geordi over to my ship, then we'll give you the captain. Okay, that sounds good. Oh, no, wait, but I want to go down to the planet instead of be trapped on your ship. Oh, well, we'll still go along with that. What? It's very clear they're like, we want to get the actors to these particular places in the script as quickly as possible so we can get on with our next interesting scene.
Yeah.
And there were several
points. It did seem like a rambling of events.
Also, no plot. It's just events.
Point of interest. After having faced the Borg so many times, if weapons fire goes right through your shields, wouldn't the first thing you would think would be to remodulate the shield frequency? I'm just Just yeah,
I have to watch the sequence again. I don't remember how much time there was before everything fell apart.
Oh, no, no, no. It was a long.
It was? It's okay. I do remember thinking it was a little fishy.
It's,
but
it's enough time for Riker and Data to have a nice little discussion about, oh, and Worf to say, what do we know about the old birds of prey? Well, those old birds of prey were retired because they had defective cloaking coils.
Yeah.
Cloaking coils?
You're right.
Can't we use that to attack the thing? I think we can. Mr. Data, can we do something with the cloaks? I think we can. Let me go and rip open a panel and rewire the ship, because I can't do it from a console. That's bullshit.
As I'm imagining the conversation in which you're reenacting right now, I feel like Benny Hill music should be playing behind you.
So, yeah, that was like, there was a long sequence, and apparently...
Yeah, you're right. No, you're
apparently
reminding me.
The shield frequency is just like, it's like a screensaver in main engineering.
No. The ship, they were told to blow up the ship, because they wanted to build a proper ship for the movies.
I know.
And so the writer said, we got to come up with something. So.
Oh, no. It makes sense for non-story reasons.
Yeah.
But the story reasons they gave us are bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's my problem with a whole lot of that movie. The Nexus does whatever the plot needs it to and nothing more. Yeah. You know, they and there's several other things that places in the movie where everything's very conveniently, you know, they're just, or not even convenient. It's just kind of outright, we'll sledgehammer the plot to get the characters to go where we want.
If I didn't make this point clearly abundant earlier in this particular podcast, I actually think all the Next Generation movies are bad.
Yeah.
I actually think the majority, with one exception, and we know which one that is, with one exception, I actually think all of the original series movies are very good.
Yeah.
But I hated pretty much all of them. So, yeah, I don't think any of them did a whole lot that was done well.
I guess, I mean, I'd rate them, you know, Generations... The scenes, the individual scenes, a lot of them were really quite good. They just had no plot to hang them on. But so I give it kind of an average, mediocre movie rating. First Contact had some very fun moments and had an interesting plot, but had a lot of really out of character stuff and some big plot holes.
And it destroyed the Borg.
Yeah, it was also the last. Yeah, it was when the Borg started to go downhill.
Yeah,
that
bullshit.
True.
Not buying it.
So, Insurrection. I guess it didn't do anything too terribly offensive to me. It just was kind of there. I didn't have much to hate about it. And I do feel every time I watch Nemesis that it has gaping, huge plot holes and problems, but that there's a really good movie that was struggling to get out of that. So
all I want to see now is the Star Trek movie you described, which will never happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to see that, too. I lie in bed literally thinking about that movie. I also lie in bed thinking about my version of Nemesis.
I want to know what you think about.
I think about very
bed.
Different things when I lie in bed.
I don't.
I'm single, so.
I don't. Wow.
Think about starships when you're trying to go to sleep. Just to decompress.
What I think about when I'm trying to go to sleep and what I'm lying in bed are actually two very different things.
You know, the starship goes into the wormhole and out of the wormhole, and into the wormhole and out of the wormhole, and into the wormhole. Yeah.
And then the wormhole gets very wet.
Captain Sisko, the wormhole is gushing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it is. It better be. I put all this work in.
Oh, well, that's probably
a good place to just walk away.
To walk away. I would love to banter about First Contact and the Borg, but we'll have to save that for another podcast.
For another podcast. Also, we got to talk about the old movies, the old series,
the original movies, the original series movies,
and God forbid we discuss the Abrams film.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that will lump in nicely with the classic films. They're called Kirk movies, so you can
yes, they are. They are all Kirk movies. So. So I guess that's us signing off. This is Patrick, and Steve is already off. He had some technical issues.
My technical goes there. And this is Michael.
And this is Brian. Live long and prosper.